Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you indeed are the one who strengthens us and redeems us. Amen. An elderly woman walked into a church, and the friendly usher greeted her at the door and helped her up the flight of steps. "Where would you like to sit?" he asked politely. "The front row, please," she answered. "Oh, you really don't want to do that," the usher said. "The pastor's really boring." "Do you happen to know who I am?" the woman inquired. "No," he said. "I'm the pastor's mother," she replied. "Do you know who I am?" the usher asked. "No," she said. "Good," he answered. The church. Yeah, but church, you can go online and follow all kinds of bloopers. We'll find all kinds of bloopers about things that happen in the church. And to be truthful, we like to think that the church is perfect. But it isn't. I said for years, the church is made up of humans. Humans are not perfect, therefore the church is not perfect. We often, though, like to think that there was a time when it was perfect. The good old days. People today talk about the good old days, and they're talking about the church in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, where it seemed like people flocked to the church. But when you really think about it, there were a lot of problems in the church, even then. Churches were segregated. Certain people were allowed in some churches and not others, and so on. It's easy to think that the church was perfect, right? And in the time right after Jesus' ministry here on earth. The time that we heard about in 1 Corinthians. We were talking last Thursday morning in our Bible study about something similar. And I made the observation, you know, the church or the ministry of Jesus stopped being perfect right after he said something or did something. And what I meant by that is the disciples took what he said and did and kind of went off on their own tangent. And it wasn't perfect anymore. We often hear in the Gospels how the disciples misunderstood Jesus. In our reading from 1 Corinthians today, we hear of an imperfect church. Listen again to what Paul writes. "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' 'I belong to Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Right at the very beginning of this first letter to the Corinthians, Paul shares with us the problem, the reason for the letter. And Reverend Carl Travis, a Presbyterian pastor in Texas, shares the following about today's passage. "Consider first century Corinth, shaped and molded by nearby Athens. In that capital city's bygone glory days, A remnant of that past lingered in its diverse and educated people. Imagine then a young congregation in such a place. People in the Corinthian church were staking their claims, not first with Christ, but with individual leaders. Some strutted about, belonging to Apollos, and some to Cephas, and some to Paul. And the battling groups were about more than their leaders, though. They were struggling to understand and to follow Jesus, a perplexing task for any beginner. Now, some preferred a learned, philosophical approach. Others were drawn to the message of new freedom Christ had brought them. And still others were passionate about whether Jews could become good Christians, and if so, how. Well, Paul got wind of these storms and sent a letter of comfort and challenge to the young church. The letter is comforting because Paul reminds them of their unity in Christ. It was challenging because Paul refused to let them perpetuate lesser differences, which threatened that unity. Well, the byword for our world today, our society, our country, is division. Divisions are very and extremely pronounced today. Wherever we look, in politics, in religion, in age, in boomers, age being the difference between boomers and millennials, race and class, in each of those, we can say, I belong to, and state a political figure, a denomination, a generation, a race, a class, classification. And we do it all the time. Because of the internet, we get information on things that we believe from people who think like us and use it not only to strengthen our own beliefs, but also to bash other groups. All you have to do is look at MSNBC and Fox News and how the people divide themselves into two camps. Well, I watch MSNBC. Well, I watch Fox News. And in two very significant ways, it's tearing at the fabric of our society. But getting back to the church, we have the opportunity to witness to the unifying power and presence of Christ. And we in this church, the First Presbyterian Church of Sterling, especially have that ministry. We have people who believe differently, but we love each other. I've always appreciated that about this church. We can disagree on what some people think are important things, but we can still love and live together in unity. In a new book coming out entitled Assuming Others Are Doing the Best They Can, Brené Brown, one of the top five TED Talk speakers, shares the following. Your client doesn't ring you back and you think they're a time waster. Your friend cancels a bike ride and you're convinced they take you for granted. Your sales manager loses an account and you view them as hopeless. Your colleague asks you to pay the bill and you assume they're a tightwad. She continues in saying, extending the most generous interpretation possible to the intentions, words, and actions of others sounds straightforward, but it's a skill set that's not easy to learn nor to practice. We can encourage others to let go of those differences that we have and acknowledge that we can still live in unity and care about each other and for each other. We are not what we believe, but we are all God's children. beloved, not because of what we think, but for what we are. Human persons who are doing the best they can. But again, Reverend Travis writes, what Paul said still holds true. After all, our true unity is not found in the personality of our leadership, nor the philosophy of our congregation, nor the denominational label. Our true unity comes only from Christ crucified. That's why the only thing we ask people to believe when they join the church is that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. We are not allowed to demand anything else. Jesus said to the prisoner who was crucified with him, "Today you will be with me in Christ's paradise." He prayed to God from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." It was a blanket statement that covered all the people. He didn't say, "God, forgive that person and that person and that person." Everybody, even those that were yelling, "Crucify him." God may call us to do certain things, but we can and we must always share our belief in the unity of all God's children. When someone disappoints us or has a belief diametrically opposed to what we believe, it's so easy, and I think so many people do things like call them jerks or they think they're wrong and they're going to hell. But we are called to love them and to recognize that that person is a brother or a sister to us. That's a wonderful story. Grace Davidson took her 4-year-old granddaughter to big church for the first time. She sat quietly, taking in every aspect of the service, and her attentive curiosity stayed in check until the pastoral prayer. The pastor said, "We thank you, Lord, for your presence." And the little girl's eyes flew open and she whispered to her grandmother, "Granny, we're going to get presents." When we can see everybody as a beloved child of God, we receive presents. The presence of God, and we receive presents of peace and love. That's the ministry of every person who follows that man from Nazareth. As we remember and celebrate 2019 in our annual meeting, as we look ahead to 2021 and beyond in our future of Long Hill Presbyterian discernment process, let us remember that no matter what lies behind us or what lies ahead of us, does not matter one bit unless we can celebrate the belovedness of each and every human person. This season of Epiphany begins with Jesus' baptism and the Word of God declaring that Jesus Christ is His beloved Son. And Epiphany ends at the transfiguration of Christ, where the voice comes out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And let us take those words to heart, not just for Jesus, but for all people. None of us are perfect. The church is not perfect, and it never will be. But the God we worship loves all of us perfectly.